This is Radio Superior 1954, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the old campfire. It's Friday, December 3rd, 1954. Lou Martin's got the campfire stories. Rapid Ray has the sporting world, including Jesse Owens, back in the news. We have a man from Superior who's invented a way to keep frost off your car. And the biggest news of all...
I have the biggest news of all.
We have downtown Superior merchants wampum.
Wampum?
Wampum.
Wampum.
Wampum. At the end of tonight's show, we'll announce the winner of tonight's drawing, and you'll get $200 in wampum for your Christmas shopping.
Huh. I'll let you in on a very interesting history of said wampum.
Wampum.
Wampum with an M at the end.
Superior Clothing is footing the bill for the 6 o'clock news. Superior Clothing has men's parka jackets for $14.95 wampum and men's rubbers for one wampum and 98 cents. Your turn at the campfire, Lou.
The Senate votes to condemn McCarthy's conduct. The Pope is near death. And 100 minutes of atomic hell. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Jack Bell on Capitol Hill. The Senate today voted to condemn Senator Joseph McCarthy for his attacks on its special committee. That committee recommended he be censured for, among other things, calling this extraordinary Senate session a lynch party. The vote wipes away one of the original counts against McCarthy that he abused Brigadier General Ralph Zwicker. The condemnation of McCarthy for his remarks, he called members unwitting handmaidens of the communists, was adopted as a substitute for the section on General Zwicker. The roll call was 64-23. Republican Senator Charles Potter of Michigan, a legless World War II veteran who served on the McCarthy Army Investigating Committee this summer, lashed out today at McCarthy's treatment of Zwicker and backed the censure. Potter told the Senate, quote, "There is no greater instance by which you can destroy the reputation of a man in uniform, whether a general or a private, than to say he is unfit to wear the uniform," end quote. Potter says that if McCarthy had made that statement to him, as he did to Zwicker, quote, "My reaction would have been much more violent than that of General Zwicker." Indiana Republican Senator William Jenner attacked fellow Republican Ralph Flanders of Vermont. Flanders authored the original censure resolution. Jenner demanded Flanders state whether he had associations with Harry Dexter White, Frank Coe, and Harold Glasser. All three are former Treasury Department officials who have been accused in congressional investigation of communist links. Attorney General Herbert Brownell said last year that White was a Soviet spy. Flanders sought to reply, but Jenner refused to yield any time to him. McCarthy was unsurprised and calm by the first official rebuke of its kind handed out by the Senate in 26 years. Calling the Senate proceedings a foul job, he says as soon as the smoke clears, he will, quote, "continue to expose communists roughly in the same way," unquote. McCarthy is the first member reprimanded by the Senate since Republican Senator Hiram Bingham of Connecticut was censured in 1929 for admitting a lobbyist to closed tariff hearings. All told, the Senate has censured only three of its members to this time. On Capitol Hill, this is Jack Bell.
This is James Marlowe in Washington. Since Senator McCarthy says he isn't going to change his ways, he probably will be in the news plenty before his term ends 4 years from now in 1958. He will have to stay in the news if he hopes to keep what political influence he has, perhaps reach for more, and remain a rallying point for at least part of the population. McCarthy got into the greatest trouble of his career during an administration run by his own Republican Party and in a year when Republicans controlled Congress. For the next 2 years, as a result of the November elections, the Democrats will run Congress, and they have no reason to love him. He called them the party of treason. To show his hurry to pick up where he left off, McCarthy announced he will hold hearings Tuesday to look for communists in defense plants. But he is about to lose his power as chairman of the Senate Government Operations Committee and its Investigation Subcommittee. As chairman, helped by a large staff, he could begin investigations all over the government and call officials to answer his questions. But in January, he loses the chairmanship to a Democrat and becomes just another committee member. In Washington, this is James Marlowe.
This is Alfred M. Schock at Vatican City. Pope Pius XII is near death tonight. The 78-year-old pontiff suffered a heart collapse and complications set in. A surgeon was summoned to the Vatican and emergency x-rays taken to determine whether surgery might improve the pope's condition. Vatican sources say there has been a rapid decline in the pope's condition most of the day. First came word that the pope was suffering from acute depression. Then the Vatican announced a serious collapse. Several hours later, the pope's physician said there has been a worsening of the general condition of the Holy Father. For the moment, it is not alarming. He is conscious and fully lucid, end quote. Then tonight came the word that the pope had suffered the heart collapse with complications. He has been unable to eat since Saturday, and tonight is suffering nausea. The pope has headed the Roman Catholic Church for almost 16 years. The atmosphere here is one of alarm. All Vatican dignitaries are in the pontiff's apartment and waiting anxiously outside his bedchamber. The pope's family is also on hand. The Vatican spokesman quoted a cardinal as saying if the pope suffers collapse, that could mean the end. The reference to acute depression, according to a Italian usage, could indicate both a mental and physical setback. Pope Pius XII was elected the Roman Catholic Church's 261st pontiff on March the 2nd, 1939, his 63rd birthday. He was crowned 12 days later. Reporting from Vatican City, this is Alfred M. Schock.
This is Washington. Hightower here. President Eisenhower said today, we must not let the communists goad us into the impulsive actions that might lead to war. He made the statement at a news conference on possible measures for obtaining the release of 13 Americans convicted by the Chinese Reds as spies. The president, in his 15-minute discourse, stressed what he calls the need for this country to steer a careful course. By that statement, Eisenhower backed up Secretary of State John Foster Dulles and differed with Republican Senators Noland of California, the Republican leader, McCarthy of Wisconsin, and Jenner of Indiana. Those lawmakers want a blockade of Red China. In dealing specifically with the imprisonment of the 13 Americans, the president put this issue squarely up to the United Nations. In D.C., this is John Hightower.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. The nation's mayors were told by the Continental Air Defense Commander today that the outbreak of a global war could mean, quote, 100 pinpointed minutes of atomic hell on Earth for 100 big American cities, end quote. General Benjamin Chidlaw posed this frightening possibility, saying it is the United States which stands the most likely chance of being hit all out in a mighty aerial blow before Russia strikes anywhere else in starting a full-scale war. Chidlaw's remarks were prepared for more than 200 mayors and city managers from the 48 states gathered for briefings on the nation's foreign and defense policy. Last year's conference developed a sharp dispute among the mayors and the Eisenhower administration over the role the federal government should play in civil defense in an atomic emergency. Eisenhower told that meeting that the city should shoulder the main burden. The Federal Defense Administration has made what officials describe as much progress in working out plans. The agency is now stressing evacuation. In D.C., this is Lyle C. Wilson.
General Lucius Clay says money for a national highway system has been cut from a proposed $50 billion to $24 billion. Clay is the chairman of the President's Advisory Committee on a National Highway Program. Lionel Barrymore's $25,000 estate will go to Miss Florence Rosella Wheeler, who was his nurse for many years. The veteran actor, who died November the 15th at the age of 76, named Miss Wheeler as his sole beneficiary. His will, filed for probate yesterday, specifies that anyone establishing claim to the estate should receive no more than $1. Barrymore had lived at the home of the 40-year-old Miss Wheeler for the last 25 years. She also nursed his wife, actress Irene Fenwick, in her final illness. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Superior Clothing.
Say, man, you want to look good? Well, we've got a way for you to look good and save money at the same time, because they've got men's sports shirts on sale at Superior Clothing for a dollar. That's what I said. With the purchase of a sport shirt, get the next one at only a dollar. Regular price shirts, $2.98, $3.95, and $4.95. They've got men's leather-lined dress gloves, parka jackets at only $14.95 with mouton zipper hood and quilted lining, wool jackets from $7.95 to $17.50, and boys' flannel sport shirts, $2.49. You get the second shirt for a buck. Men's rubbers, zipper shoe, $3.95. Low styles, $1.98. Work styles, $2.49. Four buckle styles, $4.45. Insulated packs, $10.95. You want to save money? The place to save money and look good is Superior Clothing at 13th and Tower, Superior. Lou?
A new plan to extend St. Lawrence Seaway construction to Lake Michigan and Lake Superior instead of ending at Lake Erie. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Good afternoon, Lou. A plan of improvement for Great Lakes connecting channels will permit all St. Lawrence Seaway traffic to reach Superior and Milwaukee harbors. It was pointed out today by Ralph Knowlton of the Twin Ports Army Corps of Engineers. The recommended plan of improvement for connecting channels from Lake Erie to Lakes Superior in Michigan will be equivalent to the 27-foot depth project authorized by the St. Lawrence Seaway from Lake Erie to Montreal. The Army's division engineer in Chicago, Colonel Wendell Trower, says the improvement will afford safe navigation by vessels with drafts of 25 and a half feet when the lake is at low water level. Good news for Duluth and Superior, Lou.
Superior service stations are selling gasoline at the lower price today. Service stations have been selling gas for 29 cents a gallon for regular. Today's new price is 28 cents a gallon. Ethyl gasoline prices are 3 cents higher. And finally, Tim and good listeners, melodeons, pianos, horses, cows, and watches made up a goodly portion of personal property in Superior in 1889. Brought to light during a thinning out of records at City Hall was the first city assessment books, dated 1889. Assessor John Bertrand listed for Superior 226 horses at a value of $15,000. While the majority of the listings were one horse per person, topping the list of the horse owners in 1889 was the Peyton Kimball Barber Firm with 36. The firm was in the lumber business on Connors Point. There were more pianos in 1889 than there were watches. Bertram listed 12 watches as personal property with a value of $240. There were 70 pianos with a value of $6,690. Dairying was light with only 58 cows. Stocks for the First National Bank included, among the owners, James Roosevelt of Hyde Park, New York, the father of FDR. Tim.
Did you own a cow back in 1889,
old
cowboy?
Yes, I had a whole flock of them.
Good answer, Lou Martin, newsman extraordinaire. All righty, campers, weather for this Friday, December 3rd, 1954. Better zip up the tent and keep the fire warm because it'll be mostly cloudy tonight. A low of 5 above. Tomorrow's high won't make it above the toe-freezing line, just 28 degrees. Count your lucky stars, though, kids. The record low for December 3rd came in 1919 when the mercury plunged. It took a dive and really got small when it hit 21 below. Remember, we've got WAPM coming. Let's start things up with Mitch Miller and his big hit this year, The Yellow Rose of Texas, on the Tim Michaels Evening Gather Round Tour.
Broke my heart, and if I ever find her, we never more apart. She's the sweetest daily. She'll love me like before, and the yellow rose of Texas shall be mine forevermore. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl for me.
Mitch Miller and the Yellow Rose of Texas on KUWS. Hey, campers. Santa suggests new sheer intrigue nylon. Santa asks, what woman hasn't yearned for luxurious sheer nylon she could wear night and day? This is your wished-for miracle. The intrigue is entrancingly sheer, yet gives exceptional wear with the sleekest penline thin seams. So, follow Santa's advice and go to Catola's at 1109 Tower Avenue in Superior. Open a convenient charge account today. Hey, Lou, got some news?
Is Santa really suggesting sheer nylons these days?
Boy, that Santa's getting a bit risque with pantyhose.
You can't blame the poor guy who spends most of the year looking at elf legs and elf tights.
I kind of like elves and tights.
I'm here because the phone is tied up in the newsroom. People wanting to know when the wampum will be awarded.
The guys at my Tuesday night chief engineers in charge old maid club have been hounding me all evening, suggesting their names be drawn for the wampum.
I'm trying to get scores before my sportscast, and it's wampum this, wampum that.
They'll be hand-delivering the winner's name in a few minutes, so hang in there. Here's Teresa Brewer and her 1950 hit Music, Music, Music on the Evening Gatherer Wampum Show.
Where on earth can you see elves and tights beside the North Pole?
Jack's Tavern has some pretty wild midnight shows.
Put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is having you at music, music, music. I'd do anything for you, anything you'd want me to. All I want is kissing you at music, music, music. Closer, my dear.
That's Teresa Brewer and Music, Music, Music on KUWS.
Let me introduce superior auto mechanic and inventor, Mr. William Cullinan of 1922 North 14th Street in Superior.
How can I show this thing on radio? It should be on TV. but those guys at WDSM-TV can be pretty persnickety. They gave me the boot when I brought this thing in.
We inventors never get the respect we deserve. Take Einstein, for instance.
Albert Einstein is venerated the world over.
Okay, bad example. But, Mr. Cullinan, you know what I mean.
I get laughed at more than my share down at the garage, and call me Cully.
Well, Billy...
I said Cully.
Sorry, Cully. Chief engineer in charge and fellow inventor Joe Gardonio at your service.
He's my interview, you know.
In 1927, I invented this special oil filter for the Model T Ford. Got it patented, even. That was about the time they stopped making the Model T Ford. The guys at the garage, they never let me forget it.
You didn't tell me that I could call you Cully.
That's about the time I invented the new and improved horseshoe for city riding. I would have been a rich man if people still rode horses on city streets.
Timing is everything.
Cully, you brought in this tent-like thingamajiggy.
Excellent question. Tent-like thingy.
What you've got here is 10 years of work. I first had my vision in 1944. It was a mighty cold January, and we had some stubborn frost on all the cars. Everyone was scraping ice, and, well, I figure there's got to be a better way.
It's called by a garage.
So that's when you had your inspiration?
It didn't come until later that night, after I cooked some bad liver sausage and got pretty sick. There it was, a vision.
Yeah, food poisoning can be pretty inspirational.
The object is a long, rubberized cover with spaced sticks on the inside to create an airspace between the cover and the windshield. These small hooks are used to attach it to the rain gutters on the car roof so you can secure it. I call it Cully's No Frost on the Windshield Cover.
Catchy.
When not in use, just roll it up and put her in the trunk.
That's brilliant. There'll be no laughing at you down at the garage anymore.
I got the patent this week, so I'm ready for production. I'm offering stock at a very reasonable rate.
I gotta go. I hear the phone in my office. That could be the wampum call.
I heard it first.
Wow. They skedaddled pretty quick.
Lou hasn't moved that fast since Prohibition. Hey, here's Nat King Cole now on Route 66 on the Evening Gather Round Show.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, south to Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Boston, San Bernardino. Aren't you get hit to this mighty tip when you make that California trip? I get your kick on Route 66. and be chipped. When you make that California trip, I get your kick on Route 66. Get your kick on Route 66. Get your kick on Route 66. Get your get your kick on Route 66.
Nat King Cole, the Merry Old Soul, and Route 66 on KUWS. No Wampum yet, so now it's time for the man of the sporting world, Rapid Ray Paulson.
I'm excited. I just invested in the Cully's No Frost on the windshield cover. I'm going to be rich.
You can't miss Rapid.
Hello, fans. Tonight's sports is brought to you by Northern Beer. Double-aged, double-mellow. A taste of the good old days, so extra pleasing for the holidays. Green Bay coach Liz Blackburn was given a new contract today. This as the Packers head to California for the wind-up of the 1954 National Football League season, with a record of 4 wins and 6 losses. Management says coach Blackburn did a great job in his first season with the Bays. They had nowhere to go but up after being prostrate for several seasons. A veteran football fan living in northern Wisconsin says she's not at all surprised that Al Amici was awarded the 20th annual Heisman Trophy this week. The widow of John Heisman has lived in Rhinelander with her sister since her husband's death in 1936. She sent Amici a telegram of congratulations. That's the first time she's done that, but she says since he's a Wisconsin boy, he deserves it. Mr. Heisman is buried in Rhinelander. 1936 Olympic track star Jesse Owens says, "Don't fret, U.S. will do fine against the Soviet Union in the 1956 Olympics." He says, "It's time to quit spreading gloom about American athletes against the Russians at the Melbourne Games." International Olympic Committee President Avery Brundage just finished singing the praises of the Soviet teams and says they'll be tough to beat. But the 3-time gold medal star of the Berlin game says the Russians put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. Owens is now 41 years old and 30 pounds heavier than his 165 in 1936. He says it's wrong for the Russians to confine their athletes to camps for training. And hey, sport fans, one of my favorite teams is playing tonight in Mellon. The New York Broadway Colored Clowns play at the Mellon High School Gym. These wizards of the court arrive after touring South America, where they ran up 45 consecutive victories against the best basketball players on that continent. The sensational showmen are sure to meet stiff competition from the Mellon All-Stars. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Thank you, Timmy. Ray. You are a sweet boy and a heck of a street fighter. Well, Wampum is up next, but right now let's stand in the corner and watch all the girls go by with the four lads on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Say, King Timothy, I'm told that you jump into your pants with both legs when you're getting dressed.
Lou told you that, I'll bet. He's such a tattletale.
Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Then standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. I'm a cat that got the creep. Haven't got a girl, but I can dream. Haven't got a girl, but I can wish. So
take me down to Main Street, and that's where I select my imaginary dish. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the girls the eye. Brother, if you've got a rich imagination, give it a whirl, give it a try. Try standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. Saturday, and I'm so broke. Heaven's got a girl, and that's no joke. Still I'm living life. To Main Street, and I renew the herald parading for me there. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, underneath the springtime sky. Brother, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking, or for the world. Look in your eyes. You're standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by.
The Four Lads, standing on the corner on KUWS. Now it's time for the Wampum Winner. In spite of repeated bribery attempts, this is all in the up and up, campers. The name is in a sealed envelope delivered by the Superior Association of Commerce just moments ago.
Some guy promised me a month's supply of sugar donuts if I helped him out. I told him no dice. Now, if it were cupcakes...
Good job standing by your convictions.
Hey, some guy offered to fix my car for free if I did some wampum finagling for him. What's weird is, how did he know my car was broken?
The announcement, please.
Oh, not until we go over the ground rules. This should all be perfectly understood. Feel free to jot down some notes so there won't be any questions or misunderstandings. The retail division of the Association of Commerce Wampum Bucks rules are thusly. The announced winner of the 200 wampum must be in a participating wampum store at the time of said announcement. Next, they need not be in the store they registered for wampum. Next.
Man, I'm already confused.
Next.
Announced winner must make a prompt wampum bucks claim to the nearest store clerk of a participating establishment, none of which are taverns, by the way, Ray. The wampum bucks claim must be made within 2 minutes, not a second longer, or no wampum winner. Now, Tim, do the honors, if you please.
This envelope direct from the Association of Commerce, Council TP... The winner is...
Timing mechanism is set for 2 minutes.
Fred Aronson of 52A, Catlin Court.
Timing mechanism is not working. I repeat, we have a snafu.
Improvise.
Fred Aronson gets $200 in wampum.
What does wampum money look like?
It'd be cool if my picture was on the wampum bill.
9, Mississippi.
Fred Aronson is on the phone.
11,
yellow. Jim Michaels here.
12, Mississippi.
I'm calling you from Ross in the toy department. I'm Fred Aronson.
Mississippi.
Mississippi. I've never won wampum in my life.
Mississippi.
I never even won at marbles when I was a kid.
You are the luckiest of my campers tonight, Mr. Aronson. Tell us all about your propitious self.
20, Mississippi.
You can stop counting now, Joe.
What am I now? I'm 70 years old, a retired steam pipe fitter. Lived in Spears since 1904. I'm a Spanish-American war vet. The youngest to serve in these parts, and I'm the past commander of the Legion Post. My wifey Pearl and me, well, we have 2 beautiful daughters, and now we've been blessed with 8 grandchildren. That's why I'm in the toy department here.
Well, Merry Christmas and a wonderful wampum shopping spree to you, Mr. Fred Aronson of Superior.
Oh, you betcha. And thank you, too. Any idea how many wampums Clarabelle the Clown Doll would take? Pretty nifty. Clarabelle doubles as a laundry bag.
Up next, campers, is Fibber McGee and Molly, the great Gildersleeve, and a speech by Adlai Stevenson. Time to put out the campfire tonight, but we'll be back same time, same place in your radio dial. Good Lord willing, and I don't break my legs putting on my pants both legs at a time. For Lou Martin, Ray Paulson, and engineer Joe Gardonio, this is Tim Michaels wishing wonderful wampum for everyone. Hey, Ray, do your Clarabelle clown imitation.
Yeah, Ray, please.
Pretty, please. Meet me.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1954, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Don Hansen, John Munson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1954 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
In 1927, I invented this special oil filter for the Model T Ford. Got it patented, even.
That you was didn't a... tell me that I could call you Cully.
You didn't tell me that you could step on my lines.